Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. We're grateful for your presence today, and it's certainly been a joy to see many of our church family returning to in-person services as the weather is growing warmer and COVID infections are trending downward, and a number of folks have gotten vaccinated or soon will be. So it's a good time for a reminder that we're still restricted to 60 people per service with, of course, masks and social distancing required as well. So we'd be most appreciative if you would resume the routine of contacting the office by phone or email, preferably by noon on Thursday of each week, to let us know your attendance plans and to register your attendance, so to speak. It would certainly be helpful so we can ensure our compliance to city and county ordinances that are still in place. And also, please allow our ushers to direct the flow of dismissal after our service, since we're beginning to see a lot more folks attend now. We are, of course, very hopeful that we're approaching a time that we won't have so many restrictions to worry about, but until then, we certainly appreciate your help in keeping us in the good graces of our city and county regulators. Andrew, good morning. Would you lead our call to worship, please?
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
Praise His name, servants of the Lord, who stand in the Lord's house, in the temple of our God.
Praise the Lord because He is good. Sing praise to His name because He is kind. Let us sing our opening hymn, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. It's song number 190. We'll sing all stanzas.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask Him to tell me. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. First let me hear how the children stood round His knee, and I shall fancy His blessing resting on me. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, all in the love light of Jesus' face. Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. One of His heralds, yes, I would sing, loudest hosannas, Jesus is King.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we give You thanks for the privilege of gathering in person in Your house this morning. We find the spring weather to be refreshing and energizing, and we pray for our nation and our world as we see a glimmer of hope as we address the global pandemic. Oh God, as we begin our worship service, we seek to feel the living presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His presence is symbolized by our Christ candle, and we seek Him now. It is in His name that we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you before taking your seats.
Good morning, everyone. It's certainly a joy to see you in the Lord's house on this very pleasant Sunday morning. A number of people for us to remember as we journey through the new week. First of all, I just received word from Rita Dyer that Dave Dyer took a fall last night at the house and has been admitted to North Kansas City Hospital and is undergoing some tests. He has some issues with his blood pressure, and just wondering what else may be going on causing this sort of concern. So please keep Dave in your prayers as he's at North Kansas City Hospital. Also at the same hospital, Joan Casebolt may be looking to have additional surgery following on what she had last week. Additional complications have arisen, so please keep her in prayer. Grace Kimberling is also at North Kansas City Hospital, making some progress from the fall and a fracture of the leg just above the knee that took place at her home last week. So please keep Grace in prayer as she's making a recovery and will be undergoing rehabilitation. Marcia Diedrich is also at St. Luke's on the plaza recovering from very extensive surgery. The surgery for her took over 11 hours, but doctors are hoping they've got everything squared away for her. And again, that was also a consequence of injuries from a fall, and she's making progress. Other members that we're keeping in mind are Jerry Treese, as he is going to be going to the doctor on Monday for further determination about treatment for early stage of cancer. Tucker Mills is now home after being at Children's Mercy Hospital. He is the grandson of Doris O'Neill. Judy Labor is now home, and also Betty Foster is now living with her son, Dan, and daughter-in-law, Debbie Foster, after that hip replacement surgery she went under. We're keeping Perla Mora in our prayers for test, Kirby and Helen, Michelle Jacobo, of course. Within families, we're keeping in mind Edna Williams' sister, Kay Murray. We're keeping Marilyn Williams, the sister of Gail Gentry, in our prayers, as well as Linda Stevens' granddaughter, Heather, who's recovering from surgery. Ruth Ann, we're remembering Rihanna every day, just keeping her in prayer. Friends among us are Jim Moore, a friend of David and Patty Tarver, Craig Vestal, a friend of Jerry and Peggy Treese, Naomi Segovia, sister of Perla Mora, Stacy Lustig, friend of the Witten family, and Karen Davis, friend of Jerry and Betty Donahue, Cindy Sexton's stepmother, Carolyn Comfort, and Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat, all of whom we've been remembering for some weeks now. May we go to God in prayer as we bow our heads, please. As the warmer weather gives us hints that the spring season is coming, we recognize, O God, that the seasonal changes are but one sign of the ecological patterns of life that you have designed for our earthly existence, as they are also a part of the very fabric of your destiny for the universe. We marvel at your creation as we recall the psalmist's expressions of praise in Psalm 8. As the psalmist says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And even as we contemplate the complexity of our world and universe in which we live, we marvel at the measure of attention and compassion you have shared with us, even though we are but a mere speck in the vastness of all that exists. As the psalmist continues, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And as the psalmist concludes, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Merciful God, as we journey forth with the newness of life in this coming spring season, May it be with a lightness of heart and a voice of joyful song that we rejoice in the abundance of your great grace and mercy for all of your creation. And although we at times experience the ebb and flow of tragedy, illness, loss, joy, hope, and celebration, may we always experience the confidence of your presence so graciously expressed by the presence of your Son, Jesus, and by the comfort and guidance of your Holy Spirit. For as the words of Moses spoken to the Hebrew people still clearly speak to us thousands of years later, we are assured, as Moses said, the Lord himself will lead you and be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. So do not lose courage or be afraid. We offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God as we remember how our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Good morning. It states in Proverbs 10:4, being lazy will make you poor, but hard work will make you rich. I don't think laziness is a factor with Kelly and Kayla. Between these two girls, they play on 5 different sports teams. Kelly plays volleyball, softball, and basketball. I ask her particularly why she decided to play basketball. Her response, my mother made me. But she was quick to add that now she really likes basketball. As a matter of fact, between the 3 sports that she plays, basketball is her favorite. Imagine that. Sometimes moms do know best. Kayla plays soccer and is in gymnastics. Of the two, she prefers soccer. She plays goalie and really likes all the running around and blocking those goals. Kayla is a mix of tomboy and girly girl. She likes running around and getting her energy out, as she puts it. But come Sunday morning, she often prefers pretty dresses and fashion accessories. Both girls' schooling is in person at their respective schools, and both agree that, at least for them, being at school works better than virtual classes. Kelly feels it's easier to connect with teachers and other students when she's in actual class. And Kayla admits to being too easily distracted at home. Although we have heard differing opinions from our children as to whether in-person or virtual schooling is the best, the one thing that all the children seem to have in common is they all miss the children's program here at church. Kelly was preparing to become a junior deacon last year and is looking forward to being a part of that ministry when we return to full service. Kayla really likes the praise with music part of children's church services, especially the dancing, and would really like to see all her church family and friends again. I leave these girls with this scripture message from Hebrews 6:11-12. Our great desire is that each of you keep up your eagerness to the end, so that the things you hope for will come true. We do not want you to become lazy, but to be like those who believe and are patient, and so receive what God has promised. So girls, keep kicking, bouncing, and throwing those balls around, and God will bring us back together when the time is right.
Thank you, Kathy. I remember first meeting Kayla when she was 3 or 4 days old, I believe, when Mom Nicole came to pick up Kelly from Vacation Bible School. We sure enjoyed watching these kiddos grow up here in our church family. Well, folks, I'm looking so forward to resuming the tradition of communion around the Lord's table, but for now, our social distancing requirements still remain in place. This morning's community reflection is inspired by 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, May we turn to the bottom of the first inside page of our bulletins. In the spirit of Christ our Lord, may we all have the same attitude and the same feelings. Do not pay back evil with evil. Instead, offer a blessing. Because a blessing is what God gives us through his grace in our salvation through Christ our Lord. Our hymn of contemplation is number 601. I am thine, O Lord. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it's all that I love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Many people often feel a sense of annoyance when confronted by a throng of people striving to accomplish the same task as themselves. It's far easier to perceive a mass of folks or even one other person in front of them as merely an object in one's way rather than being another human being. We're reminded of the many times someone else will speed up on the roadway just to get in front of us. I'm reminded years ago of the young businessman in his very expensive suit of clothes who deliberately stepped in front of me at a downtown San Antonio deli while I was clearly already in line awaiting my turn. For to him, he and his time were certainly perceived as far more important than me in my plain-looking sports coat and tie. The way that some folks are so often guilty of dehumanizing others who are simply in the mass of the collective makes the story of Jesus' great compassion for the crowds, revealed in this morning's very short portion of Matthew's Gospel, all the more poignant. Thus this morning we read from Matthew's Gospel, the 9th chapter, verses 35 through 38. Jesus went around visiting all the towns and villages. He taught in the synagogues, preached the good news about the kingdom, and healed people with every kind of disease and sickness. As he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with compassion for them, because they were worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he said to his disciples, "The harvest is large, but there are few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in his harvest." May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer, please. Merciful and loving God, as we pause from the busyness of our daily life to gather in your house and worship your name, May our meditations upon your word in Matthew's gospel help us understand the great measure of compassion you have for every one of us, even when we may be lost in the crowd. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is one that is so easily skipped over, for it does not involve a story of Jesus' interaction with people in some dramatic or memorable way, like Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from a deadly sickness, Lazarus being risen from the tomb, or returning sight to blind Bartimaeus. Our text from the 9th chapter of Matthew simply tells us in the 35th verse that Jesus went around visiting all the towns and villages. He taught in the synagogues, preached the good news about the kingdom, and healed people with every kind of disease and sickness. It sounds rather routine for what we understand about Jesus. But then in the 36th verse, the text says, as he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with compassion for them, because they were worried and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Looking at the crowds of people in the marketplace, those walking along the narrow footpaths, or as Jesus could so easily see the bustle of people in a small town from the vantage point of a nearby Galilean hillside, the 36th verse tells us that his heart was filled with compassion for them. Filled with compassion, or some texts will tell you, moved with compassion. It sounds ordinary enough until we realize that this phrase is not found in the classical Greek language, nor will you find it in the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Hebrew Old Testament. The measure of compassion that is being discussed here is so earnest, it is so unique, that the authors of the gospel actually created a new Greek verse to describe the very depth of Christ's sympathetic concern for God's people. And exploring the four Gospels of the New Testament, you'll discover Jesus being filled with compassion. This phrase is used in at least five different stories related to Jesus' concern for the care of God's people. And so as we have now begun this new series of messages, Seeing Jesus is Seeing God, as we are making our way through this season of Lent, the repeated use of this unique phrase by the gospel writers tells us that chief among God's attributes attributed to Jesus is certainly compassion. God's immense concern for the welfare of all of his children. But in the very first part of this particular verse of Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the text tells us that it was as Jesus saw the crowds, he is filled with compassion. As I mentioned in my introduction, it is so easy for many folks to look at a crowd of people, especially when one is in a hurry, and to perceive a crowd as merely an object in one's way, to dehumanize the mass of folks before oneself. Who would later crowd around Jesus, seeking his healing power, his comfort, his guidance. It's so noteworthy to realize that Jesus sees the crowd and his heart goes out to them. Why is this so? As verse 36 continues, it says, because they were worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. How could Jesus see that? as he just saw people passing by him. And yet the truth is that Jesus knows every individual, even in a crowd. He knows every person's story. He knows every person's concerns. He knows every person's day-to-day challenges. And as Jesus came into the world to first and foremost tell God's people about their loving God, Jesus notices that the crowd is deficient in one great significant attribute. What was that that he could see even as he saw the crowd passing him by? It was a deficiency in their spiritual health. The text tells us that the crowd is like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sees the masses of God's people, and he sees that they first and foremost need a definitive spiritual guide. And spiritual guidance is what Jesus came to offer most to all of us. Because the truth of the matter is, we may say he came to heal, but you know, one illness leads to another illness. It's just a part of life. It's a part of living in this fallible world. And every person that Jesus ever healed died of something. Right? That is not what is most important. Spiritual welfare is what Jesus knew was the primary ordeal for our human existence. As Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount, mentioned earlier in Matthew's Gospel, if we back up to the fifth chapter, the third verse, Jesus says, "Happy are those who recognize that they are spiritually poor, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to these." What that text is saying is, then Jesus says, then he goes on and says so many spiritual matters, talks about so many spiritual matters there in the Sermon on the Mount. But he is saying at the very beginning, you know, you have to first of all recognize that there are issues of your spiritual health that need to be addressed. We have to recognize that. Yeah. Before we can get ourselves into a right relationship with God through Christ. But why would Jesus be filled with compassion perceiving God's people to be spiritually poor, sheep without a shepherd? Well, as he looks out across the crowd, he realizes that for centuries, God's people had been burdened by multitudes of rules and regulations spelled out by the scribes and the Pharisees. You recall from the sermon that I offered on the 7th of February that even the simplicity of the Ten Commandments that were meant to be broad stroke principles to guide the people in relationship between themselves and God and between themselves and one another had been overburdened by generations of rules and regulations spelled out by the scribes. I mentioned that Sunday that God's people knew that the fourth commandment was to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But I mentioned to you that Sunday that the scribal law had said, well, work on the Sabbath was thus forbidden. Healing on the Sabbath was considered work and was thus forbidden. Steps could be taken to keep a patient from becoming worse, like putting a plain wadding on one's bleeding wound, but no ointment could be added to that wadding, for to add the ointment was then to make it work. That was just one rule, one regulation that the people had to, first of all, remember, and then second, they had to follow. Rules, rules, and more rules. Jesus looked at the crowds of God's people. He didn't see a mass of folks who were just objects. Jesus saw every individual, every believer being spiritually burdened, as many of them were trying desperately to be as godly as they could be in the midst of their meager existence. All the rules and regulations that couldn't be followed made God's people feel very much worried and inadequate in their relationship with God. And through it all, it was difficult for them to feel that God loved them. Thus, Jesus was filled with compassion. Jesus became the great shepherd. Jesus teaches on the hillsides, in the streets, along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He teaches them all about God's great love for them. As Jesus declares in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But then this morning, how does this simple text of Matthew chapter 9 relate to you and me? Tossed about in the crowds of people today, we can feel like we're not that significant in God's grand scheme of things. Often we can feel so overwhelmed by the concerns and the task of the day that we can also feel, as was described in the text, worried and helpless and sorely inadequate in our ability to follow God's will. And thus we can feel that we are so very far away from God. But let us take heart. As Jesus looks across the billions of people today, let us know. And again, remember from last week's message, there were four levels of knowing mentioned in the New Testament. And that fourth level, which has an intimacy that is so great that one can comprehend what another is thinking or feeling, even without words being spoken. That's the depth of knowledge. That's the depth of knowing that Jesus wants to have with every one of us, and therefore the depth of knowing in which God wants to have with every one of us. But let us know that through our Lord Jesus, God's compassion for you is genuine. Let us know that God is most genuinely concerned about your spiritual welfare. And as you walk with Jesus through the stories of the Gospels, God's great compassion and guidance will become a very personal part of your daily walk of life and indeed a part of your existence for all eternity. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So the next time you're in the hustle and bustle of a crowd, and you're feeling rather small or insignificant, be mindful. God, through Christ, knows you, loves you, and has great compassion for all you are experiencing. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, Precious Name, we're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4, please, of number 625 in your flyer.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious. precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven,
and the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him. Name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house and wish you the best as you journey through the new week. I believe I heard on the news this morning that this coming Saturday night is when we do the spring forward. Is that correct? Did they get that right on the news? I hadn't even looked at the calendar. I just couldn't hardly believe it. Wow, we're here, we're already having to do the time change. So please be mindful of that for your arrival here next Sunday morning, right? Blessings to all of you. May we pray. Lord God, guide us as we step forward into the new week. May it always be a truth that we know your great compassion resides with us daily. You know us in so many intimate and personal ways and care for us, and for this we are indeed grateful. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all your quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. Hosanna's language on our tongues and our devotion dies. Waken our souls to joyful songs. Let pure devotion rise. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with your enlivening ways. Come, shed abroad the love and teach our hearts to pray.